Welcome back to Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. I got a great guest this week, you guys. It's my friend and sort of mentor from a distance, Wes Greenwood. He is the owner and operator, well, one of three owner-operator of Cedarvale Wellbeing, which if you follow me on Instagram, you know I basically live there now. It's the place I go to do breath work and cold plunges and saunas, and it really has become a community that A, makes me wonder if I've joined a cult because I have definitely drank this Kool-Aid, but it's a place that has become very safe for me to show up exactly as I am, to get some peace and quiet, and to really put my body and my brain through an exercise without actually exercising, which I kind of like for me. But Wes is someone that I met the moment I walked in there, and he led my very first breathwork session, and there's something extremely magnetic about him where you can look at him and be like, what are you on? And can I have some of it? So we have a very, very frank conversation about childhood, about being comfortable in violence, and all of the things that kind of push people like Wes and people like me into a wellness-focused life. And it ain't pretty. Not a lot of us are like, hey, everything is super great and easy. I think I'm gonna up the ante on my wellness journey. No, most of us are in a very, very, very dark place, and we will literally do anything to get out of it. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It's a long one, but it's a good one. Let's go. I came into this blindly, as you know.
Great.
Well, no, I mean, not entirely, because I think all I know that you about you having something to recover from is your intros to our breath work. When I first started coming here, you would say, 3 years ago, like something happened, and then I found breath work basically. And yeah. So there's always been like a curiosity, but I can't just be like, hey, Wes, thanks for the breath work. What's your trauma?
Because
that would be inappropriate.
Come on my podcast and I'll find out.
So 9 months later, I'm like, hey, what happened?
Yeah. Well, if we're referring to 3 years ago that, yes, I mentioned in my breath work.
3 years ago.
You know, so we're recording this podcast in the studio.
Yes.
On the property, you know, I moved to. Yes. And 2 months after I moved here, which is just over 3 years ago, I got really sick.
With what?
After doing kind of a self-guided psilocybin journey.
Okay.
So if you want to say recovering from something, recovering from the acute trauma that occurred during that psilocybin journey of, let's say, an existential encounter with fear.
Oh, God.
That I was unable to surrender to, with hindsight, seemed to have created so much nervous system stress and tension that, like, I fell into like a 3-week depression. I laid on my couch crying for about 3 weeks straight, lost 30 pounds. And then after that, this like autoimmune like condition started occurring. Like my joints would swell up randomly. You know, I just constantly go in and out of these fits of depression, kind of lost interest in a lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
Not suicidal, but like those thoughts of,
is this? You would have had one child at that point then too.
Yeah.
Right?
So my daughter Lana was just under a year old. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
When I say, you know, I found breath work, sauna, and cold. I found breath work, sauna, and cold in the middle of all that when I literally couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, except lay on a couch.
Yeah.
You know, so like I would come out here in the studio we're recording in. I would lay in the middle of this floor. I would do some breath work. I would like throw my ass into a cold plunge tank and then I'd go sit in the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to like keep my body working.
Yeah.
In a sense, at a time where it just, everything seemed to be falling apart.
Yeah.
And it worked. because it provided relief and reprieve from the intensity of the depression I found myself in.
Yeah.
Like, there was no question. Like, for that time, I was doing the practices, and a short duration afterward, I felt the relief, and that kept growing. Like, the more I kept doing the practices, the more that kept growing. Now, I'm not going to say that it was only the practices, because I was doing other things to support them.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah, but that is what I'm referring to, and that's how it ties into when I'm communicating at a start of a class.
Yeah.
That I found it after becoming ill, getting sick, whatever I might say for verbiage.
I'm just reflecting on how I ended up here in this studio. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, the mushrooms aside, it was like really similar. Like I think it takes a certain level of like desperation, and like you wave a white flag and you're like, I will literally fucking do anything. You want me to sit alone in a room and breathe and then throw myself into like an ice tank? Sure. Like anything has to feel better than like what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And any sort of, short reprieve from it is like so welcomed.
Mm.
But then, you know, then you go home and you're back on your couch and you're back in it. But like that break was so nice.
These patterns are deep. Yeah. You know, I've been working with a therapist for the last 3 years. His name's Bruce Sandwin. And I'm in a course with him right now that he's kind of put together. It's called Live Your Own Life, Practices and Principles. But one thing that kind of came up on our last call was our core addiction is to our trauma signature.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
And that's like what I think I encountered was like at least the deep signature of my trauma in that psilocybin journey. And the way it happened was like, I just did not set myself up to have the support to be in that state, and just total meltdown.
Yeah.
But it took that journey for me to see the depths of that addiction.
Yeah.
Because that it wasn't the psilocybin journey. It was everything that happened in my life.
Of course.
That then was revealed in that moment. And it was all at once, you know? And I resonate with what you said.
Yeah.
I was in that state of desperation.
Yeah. I like to call it the gift of desperation because it's really only truly when like the space is so dark and so narrow that you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like what? Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I love that you call it psilocybin because I'm just like mushrooms, mushrooms, mushrooms. Yeah. Did you eat mushrooms that night for the purpose of like a journey?
Yeah.
Like a healing journey?
Yes, but.
Okay.
This is kind of the thing.
Love this.
I don't know how much you want to go into this, like as far as working with psychedelic medicines. I would say that encounter that I had either ignored or broke everything I knew about best practices for a journey during it. Because to preface that, like I'd been doing a lot of deeper work with different psychedelic medicines for the year prior. So that entire year prior, there's some deep work going on. And that journey that I referred to, the one at which I got sick afterwards, it was like a mishmash. I had a very deep intention, but it was kind of recreational. The dose was like not much higher than like things I've done before, but it was still high enough. Mm-hmm. And it was this weird, perfect storm where it's like something happened, you know? So it was like, it was really weird. So like, while there was an intention to like, you know, maybe do or receive or work through something on a deeper level, the container, the setting was maybe not conducive to that. And
do you think you sabotaged that subconsciously on purpose?
I don't know for certain.
I know, right?
But
it's interesting.
It's awfully curious.
Yes.
I wonder that myself.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know, like, and you could say like something in me was looking to be seen and reconciled, you know, because like, I'm not sure. Yeah. I could say, and I could make an argument that some part of me sabotaged myself. I'm not sure that's the case. I think there was some part of me that like came forth at that time. That was not easy to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That was like totally hellish, you know, but like needed to happen, as in there was a gift that was presented there.
Yeah.
That I could spin as being sabotage because of how brutal the experience was.
Yeah.
And the aftermath of it.
And, yeah.
You know, like I would say it took me probably more than a year to recover and integrate.
Damn.
Like, and not even like I'm still going through the integration 3 years later, but like, I mean, where it actually started feeling like, I'm going to make it. Like,
right.
like kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. But
tell me about integration, because yeah. I love mm-hmm. that concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Tell me about your integration. Tell me about your integration from Wes that came up 3 years ago yeah. that really needed to be seen and yeah. where that version of you is today.
Wow. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to, I don't think I've articulated. That's why I say, wow. It's like,
oh, yeah.
how to, okay. Well, on like a simple level, I would say this process of inner discovery for me started maybe 6 years ago. That just started with simply getting into a relationship with coaching groups, putting myself in the spaces where questions were being asked and people were sharing things about their life, you know, vulnerably, which was radically different from how I grew up. So the seeds were kind of starting to be planted, mm-hmm. right? You know, so I just say that with like, there was some integration already occurring there, let's say of like things that I've experienced in my life and like how they tied into who I was. So that was already starting to be gathered. Now, we'll fast forward, you know, like a few years from when that started to about like 3.5 years ago of my first experience with like a very profound medicine journey working with ayahuasca, you know, so that was like kind of a doorway being cracked open. I had some experiences prior to that with some psychedelics, but that was really the opening point. You know, what did integration mean from that? For me, mm-hmm. it really meant time. It really meant paying attention to the messages that I received in there. And it meant a lot of friction and resistance, like to change. Like there was things that I was uncovering about my past that were painful. There was things that that pain, you know, and personality traits and ways of existing that were created in response to that pain that as I looked at them, I didn't like. I didn't really choose consciously. You know, what did integration mean? Feeling the things that needed to be felt.
So much
feeling. Yeah, like feeling the things that need to be felt from those experiences that went on, you know, and the details aren't so important right now, but really feeling them, really seeing how they influenced my life and my personality, mm-hmm. and then making some conscious choices to change that. And what did that look like? You know, well, that looked like getting support from my wife, Katie, mm-hmm. getting support from like a coach,
love Katie, therapist. Hi, Katie.
Yeah, right. Like love those Katie. Things. And truthfully, like it meant actually taking some time away from everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Retreating in a sense to like find myself again.
Yes. Without yeah. noise, right? Yeah. And distractions yeah. and yeah, yeah. the pull of
commitments.
Yeah.
Like busyness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, like, I mean, if you want to say like, I've kind of retreated, like, Katie and I traveled in 2018, you know, before this medicine work started.
Yeah.
We traveled for a year.
Yeah.
You know, and I took 3 years off on parental leave for my two daughters, which was not to say a retreat from everything, but I wasn't at work. Mm-hmm. I wasn't focused on anything. COVID was happening.
Right.
So it was kind of almost a forced retreat.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of just space.
Yeah.
Away from commitment, society, influences in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me, integration was taking that time to feel, to become aware of, to feel, then to consciously make some changes.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, your podcast, recovering from everything.
Everything.
Making the changes, changing the habits, the behaviors.
So uncomfortable.
Right? But and, it takes time.
Oh my They're gosh. They're
not like... It doesn't just like it's yeah. you practice, and seemingly I'm a different person, but
no,
these patterns are deep.
Yes.
Like especially some of these older subconscious yes. patterns that I was uncovering. Right. And that's what I've been rubbing up against. So
I want to know, like, because I find, and a lot of my episodes are this about the way my old patterns show up during the day, mm-hmm. like during a regular average king mm-hmm. day, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and suddenly I'm transformed into, you know, an angsty teen or a scared kid or yeah. whatever, right? And I'm like, yeah. I am a fucking 39-year-old woman who's got her shit together. Like, who is this person? Like, what happened, right?
Yeah.
But so I want to know stuff about that. But I have a great integration exercise my therapist gave me a few years ago was to, like, draw myself and, like, the different versions of myself, including, like, a future version.
Yeah.
holy shit, it's so powerful. Yeah. Like just, and I would draw all of us together.
Wow.
And like, you know, hanging out, doing whatever, but it was like, you know, the kid version who was like the most traumatized,
yeah,
the current version taking care of the kid, and then this older, wiser, like calmer version coming, yeah, in and being like, it's all good, everything's good, yeah, don't, right, worry, fuck. So yeah, like if I'm especially activated, like I'll have to go to that space and, yeah, be like, we're all okay, everything's fine.
Well, and I love that you shared that because, you know, that's very in alignment with the breathwork practice that I'm facilitating here in times, you know, like the elemental breakthrough, elemental rhythm flow.
Yeah.
The thing that drew me to that particular practice is, I think, and there's some resonance to what you just shared, mm-hmm, that your therapist provided,
mm-hmm,
and the meditation at the end of that, that is something that really spoke to me as a deeply integrative tool. Also can be disintegrating,
mm-hmm,
in a sense of, you know, depending on how much inner work someone's done.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, I had this like mountain,
yeah,
of awareness,
yeah,
and it almost like felt like it was burying me,
yeah,
you know, like of like, oh wow, like all of these things have happened to me that I did not have support with, was not held through, did not get guidance on, whatever,
yeah,
fuck,
mm-hmm,
like ah, and the breathwork practice, much like what you just mentioned with your therapist, for me was kind of like my sketching of the parts,
yeah.
Like every time I do a breathwork journey, you know, the guided meditation that we connect to moments of gratitude in our life, but then also go into a younger version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't there an infinite amount of them almost?
Yeah.
Like, you know, of, yeah, moments in life of like these previous versions of ourselves, you, yeah, know? Stuck in time.
Yes.
Trapped, you know, burdened, whatever. So for me, every time I do a breathwork practice, it's another part of my integration and why I'm facilitating the breathwork. Those parts of me, you know, just like the parts of you just mentioned, would come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I would get the opportunity to be with them,
mm-hmm,
in a state of gratitude and to use that beautiful Ho'oponopono prayer at the,
yeah,
end.
Yeah.
You know, to say to myself, thank you, I'm sorry, I forgive you, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And the relief that provided again, or the sense of like opening, like the opposite of contraction.
Yes.
Was like palpable.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not sure if you receive that from that exercise that you do as well, but I mean, the fact that you mentioned there's some relief would say, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's so comforting. It's so, mm-hmm, comforting. And yeah, I feel like that is the eventual conclusion of integration is, mm-hmm, like everything's okay. We're all okay. We're good. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, yeah,
to get there, it like you're trudging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That prayer that you mentioned, Tamara actually sent that to me. Actually, you know, when she sent it to me, the night that she came back from doing a retreat here with you.
Okay. Yeah.
She came to my house that night because, oh, she was like, oh, I'm in port and I'm coming over.
Wow.
And so I was telling her about, I was in a really dark place and I was telling her about it. And she was like, I have a prayer for you. I'm going to send it to you. And so she sent it to me and I did that prayer for the first time that night. And then it was like a week later, I like ended up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
But I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you. Like the forgiveness, I think, of myself,
yeah,
is a really hard one. Not because I'm a fucking monster and I've done a lot of bad shit. It's not that. I think it's like you get into, you said your trauma signature, which, yeah, I really like, but you get into your behavior patterns and you don't necessarily know any better and you just end up re-traumatizing yourself over and over and over and over. And you're looking for all these ways to heal this trauma. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing, because you don't know any better,
mm-hmm,
is you're just repeating the same fucking cycles. And that's what I had a hard time forgiving myself for being like, I forgive you for really not knowing any better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. I do. It's funny because we just did a breathwork practice before this, you know, mm-hmm, and part of it was looking into a mirror.
Yes.
I don't know,
yes,
if you caught that part, you know, because ultimately, yes, it's like that is the seeking of approval from everyone in the audience, but ultimately it's the, you, one in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Today? So it's so stupid because I pictured myself in the mirror and I'm having a really good hair day. So I approve.
Wonderful. Conditionally. On the hair being good.
It's true. Because I had to like, I'm like, oh, I did look in the mirror today for probably 25 minutes while I was like fixing this like mane.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, no, like I'm good today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, so to piggyback on what you're saying about this, you know, to use some of the words too, like it's not like you're some kind of monster, you know, not in totality. There's a part of you that is monster-like.
She is a me fucking too. Savage.
Me too.
I love
and,
her.
And I've encountered experiences, you know, whether it's, and again, to circle back to the psilocybin journey, I think that is the part of me I encountered at that time. The part that is a monster, that's so fierce, so comfortable in pain and trauma and violence, like all that, you know, that like was necessary for me to survive. Mm-hmm. But in this time, the present
doesn't make any fucking
sense. Yeah, you know, but it's still there. Yeah. It hasn't been welcomed in and accepted fully.
Yeah.
Integrated.
Yeah.
For me, that's been a part that I've been really working on. Like coming to like that, and that's why I like that meditation. The I'm sorry, I forgive you. They are the two pieces in the middle, you know, and it's a different order than the standard Ho'oponopono meditation, but I like it. And really nurturing the forgiveness and like, you know, really like truly meaning like I'm sorry. Like I've hurt people.
Yeah.
I've hurt myself. Like going through that and actually meaning it and opening to forgiveness has been very, very healing for me.
Yeah.
Not easy. It's taken a long time. There's been a lot of blockages, a lot of resistance to that line of communication.
Yeah.
That's where I think the medicine work for me has come in. Cause it's hard for me to bring that part up sometimes.
Right. A lot of resistance just with your
just even accepting that that's a part of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and like things I've done when I've been acting from that place.
Yeah. You know, it was helpful for me for that. So I'm in recovery, right? And I've done the 12 steps. I do the 12 steps all the time because they're so great. But there's a bunch of steps dedicated to like taking a moral inventory and then apologizing for it, either verbally, written, or just changing your behavior.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like there's like disgusting things I've done and I have happily hurt people. And I think like I don't like thinking about that, but I think there's like a calmness now in me when I do think about that stuff where it's like, yeah, fuck, you know, yeah, I did that. That sucked.
Yeah.
But the changed behavior is like, oh, I would literally never, that would never even enter my mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless it's revenge, then it's like, then it like, you know, sits at the forefront there. Yeah. But you know, because, and I just going back to like what you said about there's a part of you that is comfortable in violence.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's comfortable with it too. And I think violence can look very different. Physical violence, verbal violence, emotional violence. 100%. Like there's all, right? And so there is a part of me that is comfortable in there. And I do wonder if there's a part of me, like that version of me that's like, we kind of miss it sometimes, don't we? So it's like, if there's like a justified way for me to be violent, I'm like,
Yeah.
Like, no, sign me serious. Up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like almost like a Dexter, like a vigilante sort of.
Yeah.
Well, I have fucking had it coming kind of thing, you know, but I pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Cause we don't want to open those floodgates.
Yeah.
But she's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love her. She's spicy.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's the integration part though.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, let's all join hands.
Like for me, when I hear that, you know, and like for me, what it's been too. And I remember this actually really came into a felt sense. And that's also for me how I know some deep integrations occurred. You know, there's the understanding, like you've just said, a lot of awareness, you know, of like these parts of you and like where they may be from, what they may be born of, how they might like to express themselves. Then there's also the resistance to like feeling compassion and acceptance and forgiveness for that part of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember for me, another clear sign of like a deep integration occurring was during a Cambo weekend. Like, so Cambo is another medicine I've worked with.
Okay.
This was about a year and a half ago, August of 2022. I was actually doing a breathwork journey in between Cambo sessions. And I just remember it being so fucking hard, like in a sense, but yet I was so proud of myself because I maintained the rhythm the entire time without distraction right to the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And then the facilitator just came over and he just like put his hand on my chest and he was like, forgiveness is here for you.
What the fuck?
Just open yourself to it. And it was like, blah! Like that part of me that like is so comfortable in violence, mm-hmm. and like trying and mm-hmm. willing and fighting, like to me, it was just like a significant integration occurred because I could feel forgiveness for that part of myself in that moment. And that was like, whoa. Like I remember actually finishing that. I was like,
do you think that is like a shtick that he does, or he literally was like, there's, you know,
it doesn't matter. I could try and figure, I have no fucking idea.
I know.
Like, but I just remember it. Like
emitting in that moment.
That's what I wonder. Right. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I think as myself as a facilitator experiencing or facilitating sessions for people, and you can see that visceral expression of someone just like giving her like far more than it needs to, you know, you just tell, man, they're trying hard, whether it's to impress me, to like do the thing right, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if you picked up on that in me, but whatever happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like just one of those moments of like grace where like that feeling.
Everything came together.
Came over for that, you know? And it's not like it was like, oh, ah,
yeah,
I'm healed. Like nothing ever is the matter again.
No,
it was a significant moment.
Yeah.
Those are those pieces that for me, like, you know, it was like continuing to do these practices, tend to these parts through the practices, through things like this. Like this is a great moment of connection and like understanding. It's like, you know, it's like we don't have to hide.
Yeah.
You know, like
there's no hiding on this.
These are all the things.
Hiding. Everyone, all of the people that have come on this podcast have cried, first of all. I'm actually maybe not one. But yeah, and there's like there's some like, you know, profound stuff that comes up in here, and that's the way I want it. Like,
beautiful.
I don't want shiny.
Can we just talk about the weather?
Never. Let's talk about why you're so comfortable in violence.
Yeah.
Is that fine?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think simply put for me, like growing up with a father that was an alcoholic, that's my experience.
Hmm.
And a family like of alcoholism, I guess, in that sense, right? So there's just an unpredictability, a lot of verbal, emotional abuse, sometimes physical, more the verbal, emotional.
Yeah.
But just that never knowing.
Oh, my God.
Never knowing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a certain violence like that. And then being a child with a nervous system that's not wired for that to be able to hold yourself. And
yeah.
Like that's my experience.
Yeah.
So that when I say comfortable with that is how I grew up. Simply put,
yeah,
it's just violent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now it's not like a violent, like I'm going out getting street fights growing up in a war zone, but it was violence, the energy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, in high school, joined the rugby team to try to get some of my violence out.
Yeah.
Did you do anything like that?
I didn't. So I went the opposite way.
Yeah.
Part of my story too is feeling very alone and unsupported,
yeah,
you know, like in a sense. Right. And my thing was just retreating. In general, I went into like very individual things, bodybuilding, with weightlifting in my basement by myself, riding my bike, like just like individual track and field sports, competing against some people, but like really just myself.
You were alone a lot.
A lot. Like a lot. Yeah.
What effect do you think that had on you?
Oh.
Because it sounds like it was a protective mechanism, subconsciously, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But really, truly, you know, I mean, I don't imagine you were like well socialized or, you know, you could go into like a house party and feel like super comfortable or, you know,
So the paradox of that is like I would fake it.
You're the
but I was not. Yeah. Like, like not like so I would endeavor to guess someone's external view of me would be one of confidence, of arrogance.
Right.
You know, like of that. Whereas like the internal experience is one of like fear.
Yeah.
Like lacking in confidence, like the exact opposite, you
really
know,
vulnerable.
So so it's weird. Whereas like I was social, but never felt social.
Yeah.
Like, I was amongst people, but never felt connected to people.
Yes.
Like,
so relatable.
You know, and it was a protection.
Yeah.
That's 100% what it was. You know? So, like, I think that experience growing up through that whole thing of alcoholism, I feel as though not really being embraced, held, connected to, kind of what it prevented maybe the nurturing of those abilities. Yet somehow I found a way to like still fit in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The illusion of fitting in.
Totally. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And did you have like best friends?
Yeah, I definitely had friends growing up that I still maintain contact with, you know, that I would have considered best friends. And I do consider them great friends.
Yeah.
It's just like, my argument would be like, we didn't really know each other. This isn't even something we've really talked about.
Literally just going to ask that. Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like they knew you?
Yeah. Like not really. Right. Like it's not something I've, one of my friends since preschool, we've begun to talk about this stuff because he's gone through a similar journey himself of, I think, facing some of his inner reality.
Yeah.
You know, and how that's manifested in addiction as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, other friends, people I've known for a long time, no. Like, and you know, it's funny, I don't live in the town I grew up in.
Yeah.
So I mean, here where we are, like I don't really know that many people.
Yeah.
You know?
And not to mention that like we're sitting in the middle of the woods basically right now is where you feel most comfortable.
Funny enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to talk about maybe too, right?
No, well, like, I mean, but I think that's okay.
I'm becoming more okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
becoming more okay as this work unfolds and I integrate.
Yes.
It's like, I do like being out here, particularly too, because we are sharing the space with others.
Right.
So like while we're out here alone, in a sense, many people are coming here. Like you're here.
Yes.
You know, so this has become
twice
like
a week.
Yeah, this has become like a beautiful space of like,
yeah, that's true.
Like real connection, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's something I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
It's been born of all this.
Yes. Like,
you know, of that violence.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, how has that affected me? I mean, that's some of how. I mean, I'm probably just skimming the surface, but
for sure.
Yeah.
I think this is true for me, and I hope that this is true for a lot of people, and I think it's true for you, but that I think at some point we figure out a way to make it work for us.
Yeah.
For example, your home, right? Like the way that you grew up, the, you know, effect it had on your nervous system, the way it put you into a protective sort of solo mode has put you in a place, this beautiful home in the middle of the fucking woods with your beautiful family, but you are still opening the door for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you figured out a way to make it work for you.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the alternative?
It's dark.
Right?
It's dark.
Yeah. Yeah. To let that destroy us?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Through many different ways?
It's a million different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, and you grew up in that. You grew up looking at someone that let it destroy them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, to further talk about that, you know, my father passed away from alcoholism like 6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like literally watching that destroy him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was tough.
Is your mom around still?
Yeah. Yeah.
When your dad was alive, did you guys have a right relationship?
My father and I?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Never. What was like Christmas like?
Conflict, silence, tension.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of pain there, especially as my father passed away, where it was like kind of the adversary, let's say.
Yeah.
Of that pain.
Yeah.
Was no longer here.
Yeah.
Now invisible.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Then
was it a
go to something.
Slow process for his death?
Maybe like a year or so.
Yeah.
Like ish. But
what was the diagnosis eventually that?
So the last year of his life was interesting. I was going to say something earlier, and this is probably a good point for it. Was like there was like a window where he had like a health challenge a year before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That was like one of those like, here's an opportunity to change.
Yes.
Are you going to take it?
No.
And there was one of those things. Yeah. That was like, there was a moment of hope in a sense, right? Where
it
was like, you could see like there was some changing. We were having some conversations too that were different in nature and energy. And I was like, oh, wow. There's something shifting here.
What could be? Yeah.
And it was like kind of almost like a hurricane of like violent storm coming ashore, then the eye of the storm's there, and it's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
And then just,
yeah.
So that's kind of what that year was like.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
As I remember it. So
was it strange to watch someone who, I hate to use this word, but this is what I mean, yeah, terrorized you?
Yeah.
Really shrivel up into this, yeah, powerless thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The juxtaposition there is like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or no?
Interesting question.
Yeah. This is how I picture it. Have you seen The Little Mermaid?
I've seen The Little Mermaid.
Okay. King Triton, when he, big, gorgeous, super hot.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
King Triton, and then Ursula,
yeah,
curses him, and he turns into this like tiny little shrilly little thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Where it's like, that's so sad.
Well, you know, what's coming up for me in a sense is like, they're, I actually feel as though, this is what's intriguing about it, is I feel as though that kind of happened in a way in my teens, whereas like my dad's always been like a thinner person.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'm of similar build to him, like height and bone structure wise.
Yeah.
The only difference was like, I really put myself into like weightlifting and bodybuilding.
Yes.
So, you know, him being 140 pounds at 6'2", I was 240 pounds. I actually feel like there's like in my teens, like a shriveling of his physicality.
Right.
Like in regards to like my stature.
Yeah.
That resonates with the story you're sharing.
Yeah.
The story I would actually say it was more like was, yeah, kind of like Harry Potter and Voldemort.
Okay.
Like kind of this invisible force now.
Ooh.
Like there was like a haunting of like this invisible thing of like, don't speak about the,
yeah,
like the Voldemort. Like it was like.
But he's like always whispering Harry's
always,
name.
Always.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was like for me more so. Was, yeah, like not only like had he kind of physically already started dissolving when, yeah, I was a teen, it just kind of kept going.
Yeah.
Like whereas the physical presence, kind of like how Voldemort is the shriveled little,
yes,
thing in one of the Harry Potter,
yes,
movies.
Yes, so creepy.
Right?
They like, did that amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. You know, that speaks to me more, but there's still the psychological whisperings of that voice.
Yeah.
You know, and that for me was interesting to notice because the work with my father still gone on,
yeah,
like since his passing, of dealing with that part.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like the physical was like a long drawn out, like we're talking like 15 year, you know,
yeah,
process from like when I was like early teens to when we passed away when I was 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, 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 that's what I would say to that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The physical versus the like mental power someone can,
yeah,
have over you even after their death, right? Because,
yes. Yeah.
Oh, God. So he died 6 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
Maybe 7 years actually this month. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
7 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like soon. Yeah.
Do you acknowledge the anniversary of that in any way?
You know, it's funny. I haven't really.
Yeah.
Consciously. Like, I haven't set a, like it's not like I have a reminder on my phone. So, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, right now, I think it's, like, the 21st. A few,
mm-hmm,
days before my birthday, which, mm-hmm, is the 23rd, but I'd actually have to like,
I'm the look. 26th.
Okay.
Cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So I haven't been. Might be something like I look at including, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've been like pretty immersed in a lot of that shifting of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between what's remaining.
Yeah.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
In response to our relationship.
Have you forgiven your dad? That's a big question.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big question.
Mm-hmm. It probably might depend on the day too.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's been moments of forgiveness, but I mean, the fact that there's not a resounding yes right there,
yeah,
is probably not in totality. It's funny you ask that because I actually had an interesting experience with a friend 2 months ago. Does a practice called like emotional releasing. In a sense, I believe.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Hunter, if I get this wrong and you listen to this. But essentially facilitates an experience of like just noticing, like on a really deep level of what's coming up.
Yeah.
And then guiding through kind of what's present via the articulation of it and his intuition to go,
yes,
a little deeper. Anyways, we wound up at a point with my father in the last practice I did with him. He actually extended me the invitation to channel all my rage into the psychological manifestation that's still present,
mm-hmm,
for my father. So do,
mm-hmm,
whatever I need to. cut him with the sword, nuke him with nuke weapons, shoot him with a machine gun, like all the things, like just all out. And it was interesting because I was going through that exercise and it was just like, I could feel that energy of anger and rage diffusing.
Yeah.
And then kind of like actually what left was like, I was actually able to see him as a baby and I was able to see myself as a baby. Mm-hmm. And like kind of the two of us, I was like me from now was like holding that. And there was a deep sense of forgiveness.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yes.
It really shifted the needle. But if I had to say, like, you know, trauma signature is a word we use at the start of this, you know, my therapist Bruce kind of uses, that for me is at the core of a lot of like my pain. So I feel like that's something that I'm going to constantly be revisiting.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense, like not so much ruminating on, I feel as though I'm getting beyond that now.
Yeah.
I've been really, I'd say really stuck in that the last, you know, 6 years probably.
Yeah.
In varying degrees. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, I actually didn't mention this, but the psilocybin journey that I had that started this conversation, the intention I had for that journey was to get my father's blessing for what we're going to do here. So when I say like a lot of the stuff with this Voldemort thing and all that, like that is some of the energy I was encountering, I think, during that was.
That's so interesting that,
you
know, you wanted that approval.
Right? Yeah. So.
But it just, it's so very like childlike, right? Like little part of you that's like, do you see me?
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, and that speaks to the depth of the wound there, right? And how old that is. So, you know, it literally is. It's like about as young as I could remember.
Yeah.
Like seeking that and yearning for that connection, that acceptance, that holding, that guidance from a father. Like, you know, and like from my father. So that was kind of, I think, a hope and a wish that was coming out there that like went pretty interestingly.
I mean, like, you got the opposite, right? Like forget even not having your needs met. It's like you got the total fucking opposite of it, which is infuriating, obviously.
Which was my experience in life.
Do you ever feel afraid to let go of what happened because it is such a part of who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Like, no, I'm just going to hold on to that super dark thing for a little bit longer because it's a part of.
Yeah. It's known.
Yeah. And you were saying like the anger is dissolved, right? And I think that is such a beautiful thing because I know for me, like a long time, like I was like, if I'm not angry about this, then it somehow means it's okay and that it's excusable and that, you know, at Christmas, if like my dad acts up, then like, then what am I, I'm not going to be like, can you fucking stop? You know what I mean? Like, and it's just, it's like a really, truly a hard thing to let go of, to be like, you know, I'm not going to scream at you. I'm just going to leave the room or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's hard. It's a part of who you are and it's a part of the way you behave and the trauma signature and like, well, this happens and then I do this and then I think this and then I talk to this person about it and then like it's just, it's like laid out for you and like, who are you if you're not doing that?
It's quite the question, isn't it? Yeah. Who am I without my trauma?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who could I be?
I know.
What am I capable of? Yeah. What might life be like?
It'd be boring.
There's a gift in that, like that experience of violence, of, you know, like lacking in acceptance and guidance. You know, something's come from that.
So
there is a fear that I've experienced of letting go of that because I believe it's going to be lost. And it's like as much pain as in that, as much as I actually want it to be gone, like I'm not sure it can be, you know, and that's kind of where I'm actually like really at this point now, like what's going on here. I'm noticing a pull of gravity almost to stay stuck in that rather than moving forward, like really moving forward, like actually like dreaming and becoming something else, like not running from, like, you know, like blindly, like,
no, I know,
but consciously starting to move towards a bigger vision, a bigger dream, inclusive of the trauma, the violence, but that's not the story.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So tell me, because you are someone, I've never met someone that does more to protect their mental health, their physical health. Literally, you are the only person on the planet that does what you do. If and you know what, Wes, it's been, and Kelly and I were talking about this the other day when she came, because you were so lovely with her. And I know when I first met you and then her experience with you, it was nice to meet someone who is so safe, like, and in a way where you've had your shit and you are taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And just to, and maybe that's like sexist of me, but I don't think so. Mm. But to have like a, you know, a man enter our lives, the in the time that you did and the way that you did it in like the safest way was, I think she and I both really needed that. And I think we both needed to see that, like, oh, it's possible. Mm. And like, there are people that are willing to do the work to like be well and like stay well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I had a gun to your head right now and I was like, tell me everything that you have done in the last 6 years to maintain your mental well-being.
Yeah.
Could you list them all?
Oh God.
Go.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, bang, bang. All right, gun to my head. Thank God I can maintain calm. Gun to my head. Let's just say, like, my foundation's been, and it's interesting that this ties back into childhood of getting immensely protective of my physical health to start.
Yes.
So 12 years old, you know, retreating alone into bodybuilding, let's say that, which turned more into an interest in wellness.
Okay.
You know, so like nutrition, exercise on like a more holistic level. I think set a foundation, like a disciplined foundation for me to like build off of, you know, so I already had deeply ingrained habits of taking care of myself physically.
Right.
And what I did not realize was there was this other aspect of psychological health, emotional health, let's say even spiritual connection, you know, if you want to go there.
I do want to go there.
Like, let's just focus on, you know, like for most, the psychological, emotional, you know, tied in with the physical. So in 2016 is when things really started picking up as far as addressing my psychological, emotional, you know, seeking out to that. So, I mean, I don't know if it's helpful to actually go in and list.
Oh my God. I want you to like, list it so badly because I don't think you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like even like I got here today and you were like, oh yeah, I just did this like facial thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
How do you even know about this?
Yeah. Stuff? Yeah. 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 So, and that wasn't a facial as though like a cosmetic.
No,
facial,
I know.
But I have had those as well.
Do you have a like alternative medicine Google alert on your phone?
No, I don't. Okay. Although like, I don't need it because like I've spent so much time going into it. That's where it actually is hard to list, right? Like, so I mean,
I know
we're talking like, you know, two decades of study.
Okay, so let's do this year.
Yeah, this year?
2023 alone.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this year, I've been on 2 weekends of Cambo retreats. So doing 3 ceremonies of working with Cambo medicine.
Yeah.
You know, which is like helps me maintain a connection, let's say, to like a spirituality.
Yeah.
And also intense environment of connecting to psycho-emotional, physical.
Yeah.
So the medicine work's a part of my experience that like usually is a part of this. I'm a part of a coaching group that we meet biweekly, you know, so there's like kind of like a mastermind of people seeking to move through some of the things we've been talking about to then become in service of others.
Yeah.
So we meet biweekly.
Every 2 weeks.
Get together once a year, maybe every 9 months together. Yeah. You know, so I was in Ireland for a week meeting with them.
Breath work.
Yeah. Like I do my own breath work practice most days.
Yeah.
So definitely several times a week.
Yeah.
Cold plunging, contrast sauna work, therapy. You know, every day I'm out walking with my dogs, nature, living in nature.
Yeah.
You know, that, that helps take care of it.
Oh, big time.
Weekly calls with the psychotherapist, both for myself and with Katie, relationship wise.
Okay. So like, is that 2 things or 1 thing?
Well, let's say that's 1 thing.
One thing.
Psychotherapy in general,
psychotherapy,
weekly.
Yeah.
I've been leaning into this year somatic experience and therapy, you know? Yes. What you just mentioned, massage therapy, but more on integrative, working with the facial, like the fascia of the body, which is said to be the information highway.
Yeah.
Like potentially where our body stores things, you know? So some intuitive connection to stories that are stored within the body that somehow a person can facilitate a releasing of. Things like that, so you know, cool. every few weeks.
Yeah.
Things like acupuncture. You know, like chiropractic care.
I'm running out of fingers.
Yeah, right?
Like, I'm at 10 right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's October.
Definitely this year. yeah.
I just like, want people to reflect on their own.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and this happened to me today, a lot of people will be like, I'm at a 10. I'm at a 10. I want change. Yeah. I'm ready for change.
Yeah.
And then when it's time for change, they're like, it'll go away or it's fine or I'll figure it out or whatever. Yeah. Right. And it doesn't go away. And it in fact gets worse.
Yeah.
And so it's those people that I'm speaking to judgmentally is that there's literally no reason not to try something, right? You just gave us a list of 10 things. One of them is literally doing drugs.
Yeah. So like, well, yeah, so that's
at the very least, do good but drugs.
Doing
about
drugs
it.
That are ceremonially done with intention.
They have to be with preceded by the word medicinal.
Yeah, totally.
But literally, right? Like there's no excuse not to try fucking something.
Well, there is. It could. The excuse is I'm not worth it.
Yes.
Or I don't believe this is going to get better.
I'm not. You know? I'm not worth that amount of work.
Like I say it's a 10, but it's really 6.
Yeah. And like I'm just having like, a
you don't
hard
know
day.
What 10 is.
Yeah.
Like it's not bad enough.
Yeah.
Like those things, right?
Yeah.
And there's a million excuses of it. Yeah. But there is help.
Yes.
That's, I think, the critical point, you know?
And I think what is part of your story and part of my story is there wasn't necessarily a rock bottom. I know a billion people that have hit rock bottom and it's ugly and they lose everything and they feel like shit and it's so hard to climb out of that. But there doesn't have to be a rock bottom. You can, you know, wake up and have a day just like any other day and be like, this is it. I'm picking the rock bottom and like, I can't, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. This is too much.
Yes.
And you can literally just change when you're at a 6.
Yes.
Or when you're at a 4.
Yeah.
You know?
But it has to be a decision.
Yes, followed by the tiniest little action.
Yeah, yeah.
Make an appointment and show up for that.
Well, so I think that might be important though too, like to highlight, like, and maybe that's a segue too, like you work with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where I think a coach, a therapist, a guide, a mentor, whatever you call it, comes in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that would be something from this podcast, right? Like a connecting to an individual whose story resonates with at least maybe some of what you're going through.
Yeah.
And maybe able to guide you through that thing faster and with less pain than they experience.
Yeah.
Hopefully. If someone's open to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, but, Inga, I want you to yell at me with love in person.
Yeah. Yeah. But the important thing is, and I know like part of your frustration maybe is born of this, is like you can't do it for them at all. Like, they got to show up. They got to go to the appointments. They got to do the work, put in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it really, and you're a good example of it, and I know I am, is like we're kind of on the other side of something.
Yeah.
And it's so nice here. Like it's so good. Mm-hmm. And even the hard days are like, meh, whatever, right? Like it just is like it's everything is so much easier when you trudge through the shit you need to trudge through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it involves, you know, crying on your couch sometimes, then like, okay, then do it. Then sit with your fucking order a pizza, get a pint of ice cream and like have a little night with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And then go to breath work the next day or something.
Yeah.
But have you started a coaching practice?
Yes. I guess. You know, in a sense, like it's evolving into whatever it is. I mean, like I've begun working with people one-on-one.
What do you like to focus on?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever needs to be focused on.
Yeah.
So I'll share something that I uncovered today.
Okay.
That is interesting. And this kind of gave me a little bit of clarity of at least, you know, what I'd like to do. So one of the things I've been working through is like trying to get an understanding of like why I'm so focused and seemingly buried and stuck in my past, right?
Okay.
And there's a comfort in me focusing on it.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I connected with today was like, and it's been a pain point for me, that I did not have the guidance that I needed at the times where I was going through these things. And I really closed off.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a moment that I experienced, and this was a story I was sharing today, when I was on a retreat in Costa Rica. A friend of mine that was there, his name's Robert. I remember being outside with him, and this was kind of in between sessions. He was like, just like so activated that he was like literally viscerally like,
Just like jittery,
just jittery.
Yeah.
Not from having too much coffee.
Yeah.
Not from being on anything. Just like,
yeah.
Like just whatever was encountered. Right. And I remember seeing him. I was like, whoa, I'm like, Robert, come here. And I just gave him like a hug. And I remember like, dude, breathe with me. Like no words were saying, and like just holding him and like breathing with him. Like his body just like settled down, and it was like still regulated, grounded. And today we're doing an exercise with a group that I'm a part of where I kind of uncovered, well, the reason that that was so powerful of a moment for me was like, that is what I needed as a child. Like literally just that. I don't feel like I got it. But man, was I able not only to provide it to someone in that moment, then that wasn't even really like a conscious thing. Like I wasn't like, oh, this is what I'm doing. It just happened. When I think of what I want to do, and that's what I'm doing in breath work, and it was holding that space for someone to come to that state.
Yeah.
Of regulation.
Yeah.
You know, that's the work I want to do.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't matter who it's with.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, I don't have a niche.
Yeah.
I don't have a focus. I truly believe that if someone's open to doing this, like, no matter what their story is, I can help them.
Yeah.
To a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And you know what's so beautiful is that people find you based on who you are. Like, they will look at you and the way that you exist.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yes, I want what you have.
Yes, totally.
And then you're like, fucking A, like, let's go. Like, you know, great.
So like, to me, like, you know, the beautiful thing about that is like everything we've talked about in this recording, you know, all of the pain I've experienced, all the violence, all that trauma, you know, like to me, like holding a space for someone to then work through their own version of it brings such a purpose to that. That's healing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, so like not only is there an opportunity for me to make a lot of meaning and purpose out of that experience, it allows me to be in service of others, to like earn a living.
Yeah.
You know, and to like maybe help others get to that point too, where whatever their unique gift is, they can also begin to share.
Yeah. It is the best feeling.
Yeah.
The fucking best feeling.
Yeah.
Like there's no, for me, there's no drug like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Where someone is just like so raw with you and you're like, holy fuck. Like, you know, they feel so safe and you get to normalize things for them. Right. Yeah. Saying like, of course you felt that way. Yeah. Like, you know,
okay.
Yeah. You would have no other option but to, you know, how's your parenting style? Have you noticed any healing there?
Oh yeah.
Do you like just hug your kids like crazy?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell them I love them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like really make a point to like connect with them.
Yes.
Be with them.
Dad
simple.
Of the year.
Time. Yeah. Like it's literally, it's just like, it's time. I mean, that's simply it. It's just like being aware of the importance of like being present, being aware of ourselves, our reactions, our experiences in childhood, and not repeating that for our kids, but being there with them so they can just let their experience unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found, and I think that's part of also going back to where we were before about me getting ill when Lana was a year old. I think like holding her and having her presence really brought forth a lot of that which I didn't receive. And being with that and like tending to that and like bringing some healing to that was a task.
Oh,
like I have compassion now for parents, whereas before I didn't get it. It's like how hard a child can make one's life.
Yeah.
Especially with all of these things in us that we're not aware of.
And then, I mean, your kids are still little, but like each age that they reach, when they're an age that you remember being that age, that's also really fucked. You know, you remember violence at a certain age or getting picked on, and you mentioned you had an experience with bullying and or getting picked on or whatever. And then like you look at your kid and you're like, but you're so little. Like, how could anyone do that?
Yeah.
yeah. to like this tiny, like they're so small. They're, so have you small. Seen their hands, Wes? Yeah,
I hold them hands, every day.
Yes. Yeah, I always like, oh my gosh. I always hold Ten's hands yeah. and I'm like, your hands are so fucking small.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. and I just, but it's all of that is either, I mean, there's two options as I see it. It's like an opportunity to justify your anger even more or to use it as an opportunity to heal that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
love that.
One route is like, yes, I know this route. I'm comfortable on this route. Let's more do violence. This. Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
Or the other one is like, yeah, we'll put, you know, put on your big boots because you're doing some fucking trudging.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one thing that really helped, this ties into maybe some things we're doing, you know, we're really into like just seeking connections and relationships with people that are like on this, let's say, path of inner discovery, inquisition, you know, understanding, bring awareness to. We were at a conference in 2017, and we heard this woman, Dr. Shefali, speaking. You can look her up on Instagram. She shared something that, like, I remember Katie and I just both looking at each other. This was before we had kids. Like, we just looked at each other and like, fuck. And what she said was, your kids will be a mirror for all the areas in which you need to grow. like as in, like, they're these perfect creations to exploit every single thing that's happened to you in your life.
Exploit and
to
bring it is forth, such a good word.
Like, yeah. you know, like, to show you, hey, deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa. I remember like looking at Katie and I was like, oh my God, like not only did that explain so much of the relationship between my father and I, it was like just imagining the mirror I was presenting for him.
Yeah.
Like
this innocent little being.
Right. And yeah. like whatever, I don't know what happened to him. Like we didn't get to have those conversations.
Yeah.
I don't know what his childhood was like, you know, like any of that. Right. Yeah. Like really from his words.
Yeah.
I have some ideas based on my observations of the family unit, but
yeah,
that's, you know, really not, that's not really what matters.
Yeah.
How he interprets and whatever. But wow, was there some compassion that came online in that moment?
Yeah.
But when we had kids, it was like, whoa, fuck, that was true.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The eyes of my children, like,
yeah.
Constant mirror.
Absolutely.
That remaining tension and constriction and pain that's still there, right?
Yeah.
It requires my constant holding too. So it's like, while I'm parenting two little girls, like I'm also reparenting this like little Wes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh,
man. Yeah.
like,
yeah.
So.
And giving an angry version of yourself a lot of love and compassion.
Yes.
Woo. Woo.
It's a challenge.
But you know who teaches you how to do that? Your fucking kids.
Kids. Yeah.
Because you can't just scream at them all the time.
Well, you can.
Because that fucks them right
People
up.
People do.
But you don't want
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. When you know what the what the cost
you
is.
You know the cost.
Very hard to. And I mean, like, I mean, I'm sure there's been moments where maybe you've like slipped for a second or something like that.
Oh, for sure.
And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Isn't the worst feeling in
Oh, my
the world,
gosh. Like, when I'm like an ugly version of myself.
Yeah. Like the immediate look in your child's eyes and the facial expression and their energetic presence. It's like.
Yes.
Oh, what have I done?
You're like, I am a monster. Like,
but it's like, we do that to ourselves.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So.
I would never say a bunch of the stuff I say to myself to my kid. That would ruin a whole fucking person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or some of the
That's
stuff that I say to me.
So why do we do it?
I know. No, I know. I know. Like, I do have a very like aggressive self-love practice.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
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 Because it's a necessity.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, your baseline is one thing.
Yeah.
Your trauma signature, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to work to deviate from
that.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing it.
Hey, you're welcome. I wanted to touch on one other thing that we talked about was friendships.
Yeah.
And as you progress in your personal evolution, there's a lot of people that don't get to come with you.
Yeah.
And really just like how lonely it can be when, you know, you kind of realize that like the people – you guys spoke one language a year ago and now you're speaking completely fucking different languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
and it's, you're doing this wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Katie and that's great. And you guys seem super aligned.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that you are moving through life.
Yeah.
And that's lovely. And Laura.
Yeah.
And then the Cedar Vale community, which honestly has been such a fucking blessing. Because I'm like, okay, right? It's really like getting off an airplane in like a foreign country and being like, oh my gosh, these people speak English. Like, yay! You know?
Yeah.
Where I was like, but it's not, you don't, it's almost like you don't get to evolve and ascend and take everyone with you. Is that accurate for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just think
but to speak to what you mentioned though about like being alone.
Yeah.
That is which I think something I struggled with. I think at the beginning of this change, you know, so coming to a point of like starting to look at myself 7 years ago or so,
mm-hmm.
and really being like, wow, geez, I'm really like out of alignment with how I feel I should be,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and like a lot of the people I'm friends with, associating with, the things I'm doing, just don't like, nothing feels right.
Yeah.
That was a lonely time. That was a confusing time.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel now, like, you know, as I think about your question, there's none of it feels true. Like I couldn't be further from being alone.
Yeah.
That being said, how I socialize looks massively different.
Yes.
Than how I did before. So that's a massive change.
Yeah.
Where some people could say, well, no, geez, you're pretty lonely. Like you don't really, that's all you do. You know,
yeah.
but like the interactions I have now are of such a higher quality,
yes.
of such a deeper connection that they're more fulfilling. Like I just don't need as much.
Yes.
And I'm good.
Yeah.
Plus I got like, yeah, like Katie and my two little daughters
yeah.
that like provide a lot. That's my focus right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this business, you know, this place of where we're doing this work. Like there's so much coming from that. Like I show up here to do sessions and like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like the connections that come from it, the conversations, you know, this is being born of that too.
I know.
Like.
I know.
That's like, I couldn't be further from being alone.
Yes.
Like in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe my question was maybe then a little bit more projection, because I feel like I'm just starting that transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know. I'm struggling, but but I have for sure noticed like the times that I do socialize and like the quality of my interactions has gone up tenfold.
Yeah.
For sure. And I'm not feeling so drained so frequently, which is nice because I'm not.
Dude, bask in that for a moment.
Oh, fuck. I know.
Let yourself just soak in that.
No, I know.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's not something sometimes we focus on, because I mean that feeling of loneliness, like you couldn't find a more painful feeling. For a human being, like loneliness, aloneness, isolation, like almost means certain death.
Yes, yes.
Like we're excluded from the pack. Like we're not going to make it. Like you know, whatever.
I was just going to say, evolution says you're going to die, dude.
So some deep biology is there.
Yeah.
You know, it's being exploited.
Yeah.
So to have an experience like what you mentioned, to be feeling that, like that's worthy of soaking in and basking in to really dissolve more of that fear. But it's very real.
Yes.
Like I went through it. Yeah. Like definitely. At a time of feeling like very either excluded from circles.
Yeah.
Not maybe even directly, but just energetically of how I was feeling now. It's like, oh, man, I don't even know where I fit.
Yes.
Like, who am I going to be friends with? Who's going to get me? Who's going to understand? Who's going to want to talk about this stuff?
That's exactly
like,
what's
you know,
happening.
Like, and all that. And, it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thankfully, you know, and like, I mean, I hope to provide a space for that here. And I feel like we are.
Totally.
I found some groups like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like groups I found, I went on the retreat in Ireland in 2016. Like I found people. Oh, there's people in this world. Like, just like you said here.
Yes. Yes.
So like I landed literally in a foreign country.
Yes.
But with a group of people, it's, oh, okay.
Such a good feeling.
We're all seeing fucking this too.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah.
I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
At least where I was.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's very real.
Yeah, totally. And then there's like, you just, I know it does.
Yeah.
I know it does. I mean, I've experienced something similar. Like when I got sober, I had to change everything, right?
Yeah.
So a whole last version of me died, including friendships and activities and whatever. And so I think it's something I'm going through now again, 11 years later, is like, okay, I don't actually enjoy doing the things I enjoyed doing 4 months ago.
Wow, yeah.
I don't enjoy having the conversations I was having 4 months ago. It's like, oh my God, right? But yeah. I am lucky in that I do have like a core group of women and a couple of men that it's like ride or die, no matter what. You're fucking changing. Amazing. Can't wait to witness it. Like, yeah. Let's go. What do you want to talk about right now? What's going on with you? You know,
beautiful.
So that's lucky. But there is like I'm like a few months ago, I would have gone out for dinner 6 times a week. Like I would have loved it.
Yeah.
If I can put on some cute clothes and like go and spend money on good food. Great. Yeah. You couldn't fucking pay me to go for dinner right now, Wes.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't want to.
Interesting.
But unfortunately, that means like I'm not seeing, you know, that group of friends as much anymore and whatever. Right. But I think like there is patience that I've sort of evoked to be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a transitional period.
Yeah.
You're transforming.
Yeah.
So far, transformation has proven to be fucking awesome eventually.
Yeah.
So just trust the process.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. The loneliness is, it's confusing for sure. Because then I'm like, am I doing something wrong? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're just adjusting. There's
some deep stories, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Just think it's important for people to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. To have something to relate to.
Yes.
On this journey, because that will come.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. As you ascend. You know, on your fucking spaceship of transformation, many people will be left on Earth.
Yeah. Or even if it's just a lateral move to something different.
Sure.
Maybe not even ascension or descension, just like simply changing.
Different.
Just as you change.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Yeah.
There's going to be some pains.
Yes. And that also is another kind of tough pill to swallow is like, I think it's really easy to get resentful against the people around you for not being different.
Yeah.
While you're changing.
Yeah.
And to be like, it's not them, it's me. Like, I'm changing.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I don't have to be mad at them all the time. You know?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of brought up a little bit for me.
Ooh.
In a sense of just like thinking of that. Cause I have slid into those feelings of resentment before.
Yeah.
It's like, if only these people would change that, I wouldn't have to do this.
Yes.
It'd be easier.
Yeah.
I, you know, like, I don't have to go on this journey alone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's like go through the uncomfortableness.
No, I know. Like, and something I say on this podcast a lot is I'm like, I'm going to just climb up on my pedestal for a minute.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sometimes what I do is I'm like, come up here on my pedestal, peasants.
Yeah.
You know?
Enjoy the view. Yeah. There's that violent part of you again, that dark humor of, yeah.
The integration.
Yeah. The old angry queen.
Oh, I love her. What a fucking little savage monster she is.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot.
I feel like
this is an hour and a half.
Yeah. So I mean, like the only thing I would say is like, you know, if anything resonates with anyone on this podcast, like look us up on our website, cedarvale.ca or cedarvalewellbeing.ca. Mm-hmm.
I'll tag them.
Yeah. And if anything, you know, in here speaks to anyone, like I'm open for whether it's one-on-one breath work, direct one-to-one coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To explore some of these things. But my interest is in holding someone through the process of them shifting into, changing into whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, they feel they're called to.
Metamorphosis.
Yeah, that's it, right?
And if you are sitting on your couch crying right now and it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe drop in for a cold plunge.
Yeah.
Worked for Wes.
Yeah.
Worked for me.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't think we're unique by any stretch of the imagination.
We're definitely human. There's no question. So we're unique, that's for sure, in our own experience. But we're just human.
Just regular people.
We're just regular human bodies that have the same biology and physiology and all that.
It needs to
definitely assisted by a good cold plunge.
Yeah. It needs like a shock once in a while.
But to have a space held to tend to these parts that maybe have been connected to from anyone listening to this podcast today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out the website and reach out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all recovering from something.
Yep.
Recovering from everything.
Recovering from life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I might come back tonight for a cold plunge, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm not even joking.
Okay.
I'm going to go home and do some work and eat some dinner. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's a plunge tonight. I might do that.
Yeah. 8 to 9.
Yeah. Anyways. All right, I'll see you in like 3 hours.
See you in 3 hours. Okay.
Okay, but how good was that? I honestly feel like I could have sat there for hours, but I kind of wish that you guys could have seen how like emotionally exhausted both of us were. We were both just like, we looked very weathered by the end of that. I will include that prayer that Wes and I were talking about, the forgiveness prayer. And the way that it worked for me was I wasn't ready to forgive anybody yet outside of myself. And when Tamara sent me that prayer, she suggested picture yourself instead of anybody else. And I think that just comes, you know, you sort of have to accept that, okay, I'm not ready to forgive XYZ, but I can start with myself. Or if you're not ready with yourself, then, you know, forgive XYZ first. But the prayer is really cool. It's only about 7 minutes. I'll include it at the end of this episode and give it a whirl. But thank you for listening to another episode of Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever, including being traumatized by parents that were still living in their trauma, which sucks and is truly a lot of responsibility to sort through later in life. But my dark sense of humor always kicks in, and make sure to say thanks, Mom and Dad, for forcing a really strong work ethic when it comes to healing. Thanks, guys. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. Leave a comment if you did. And I will see you when I see you. Take care of yourselves. Love you.
Let's go ahead and begin with a little bit of ha breathing. Excellent. Now, what I would like you to do is go ahead and make a stage below you and in front of you. This is a stage that we will invite people out onto. And as you construct this stage, imagine a source of infinite love, healing energy directly above your head, coming from higher source. Go ahead and allow that energy to flow down into the top of your head, all the way to the tips of your toes, filling up to your feet, your ankles, up to your knees, all the way up to your waist, filling up your lower back, your abdomen. Filling all the way up to your chest, your upper back, your shoulders. Let it flow down into both of your arms, to the tips of your fingers. And as it overflows out the top of your head, let it coat your entire body on the outside as well. Allow this energy to remain flowing during the entire process. And go ahead now and ask your Unihipili, your unconscious mind, to bring out everyone that you came into contact with today. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Bring them all out onto the stage. And as a group, go ahead and open up your heart and allow all of the energy that you have inside to flow down onto the stage and completely heal them up inside and out. From the tips of their toes all the way to the tops of their heads. Heal them up completely as a group. Everyone that you have come into contact with, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, heal them up completely inside and out. And now go ahead and say to them, I forgive you. Please forgive me too. Give the gift of forgiveness from your heart with love and receive it back. If there's anyone that you need to speak to individually, go ahead and take about a minute now to give and receive the gift of forgiveness with all the people on the stage and say anything that you need to any of the individuals on the stage. Forgive you. Please forgive me too. Go ahead and wrap up with the group. Thank them all for being there on the stage and in your life. And gather up all of the Akka connections between you and all of the people on the stage. Gather them all up and let a blade of white light of energy float down from the energy above and gently cut all of the Akka connections between you and everyone on the stage. And as it cuts the last one and disappears beneath your feet, allow all of the people on the stage to just disappear. Let the stage fade away and allow all of the Akka connections to dissolve back to energy, leaving you Puno inside and out. And let's go ahead and do four deep breaths to come out of the process. Malama Pono.